Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Speaker offers motivational message to Bowie kids by Ruth Gamble, May 11, 2023. An educator, motivator, mentor, executive, and pastor, Nathaniel Hearn, shared his personal story and offered encouragement to students at Bowie Middle School Thursday. The morning session in the library had 80 students, hand chosen by the Dean of Students and Culture, Brandon Bass, Coach Tony Hughes, and ISS teacher, Coach Colton Watkins. Principal Amy Russell said, students at the afternoon presentation were all athletes and mostly in seventh grade. I wanted to pick a group that will be here next year, Russell said. When Russell was a student in band at Permian, Hearn was one of the famous Friday Night Lights coaches. His wife, Callie, who accompanied him to Bowie, was her counselor at PHS. When she was instructional services director at Ector Russell was looking for some professional development. She heard from retired Carver Early Education Center principal Sherry Palmer that the Hearns had a great motivational program for schools. I brought them in the first year I was at Ector back in 2015. Tomorrow they will be with teachers. They'll be with us working on our personal mission and vision statements, Russell added. She had the Hearns in the beginning of the year to lay the foundation at Bowie, and with extra funding from the district, she was able to bring them back. Hearn told students about the importance of relationships, having dreams and goals and a plan for making them happen and never giving up. He grew up one of eight children in a three-room house in Andrews, too small to play football. Hearn decided on basketball, but he injured his thumb badly. Coach put his son, who was a freshman, in Hearn's place. The coach called him in and dismissed him from the team. Heartbroken, he concentrated on his academics and decided to go to college. His parents could not afford college. His father got him a job at Piggly Wiggly and made enough money for a semester at Odessa College. He found out they gave him a limited number of walk-on basketball scholarships there, so he took the bus to OC and made the team. The coach gave him a room to stay in. Football coach Hearn instilled a love of honor and sportsmanship in every team member as he led them in strength and stamina conditioning. The Permian High School team became national football champions in 1989 and state champions in 1991, according to the International Association for Truancy and Dropout Prevention. When he was in elementary school, Hearn said he was ready to drop out, but when he got into middle school, a couple of his teachers believed in him and he was motivated to hit the books. His dream became to become a coach and teacher. Hearn earned a bachelor's degree in physical education at North Texas State University in 1974. He returned to the University of Texas in 1979, obtaining a Master of Arts. In 1998, he received a Master of Divinity at SMU while working full-time at the Clarksville ISD as the football defensive coordinator and conditioning coach. The next year, he became an ordained minister and served as such in several churches. In 2009, he was back at SMU obtaining a Doctor of Ministry, the International Association for Truancy and Dropout Prevention website. Some students at the presentation want to do a variety of things, from becoming pro athletes and going to Division I schools to taking in foster dogs. Gabriella Gomez, a 14-year-old eighth grader, said she enjoyed Hearn's presentation. I actually really liked it, Gomez said. She added that she's not familiar with the PHS football legend. Her takeaways is to work hard and never give up. I want to be a veterinarian and sell my art online. I want to stop animal abuse, Gomez said. Callie Hearn, a longtime educator who now works with her husband, met Hearn at Permian. She said, their business, Made Up Minds, is their purpose. Hearn gets invitations from across the country to speak. He is also the author of Friday Night Lights, The Untold Story Behind the Lights, and a pastor. Domestic violence suspect arrested again for May 11th, A woman arrested last August after her husband told authorities she attacked him with a pipe is back in jail after allegedly threatening to kill him with a butcher knife. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies received a disturbance call from the 400 block of East Glen Drive around 3 p.m. April 25th, and when they arrived, Tamara McClinton's husband told them she scratched his hand and arm and threatened him with a butcher knife. The report stated it was the second family violence incident reported to authorities in 2 days. McClinton, 52, was arrested on suspicion of continuous violence against the family. McClinton was indicted last September after her husband told deputies on August 16th that she had hit him in the face with a pipe and used the pipe to break a porch light and dent a dog dish. The judge in that case revoked McClinton's bond following the April 25th incident and issued a warrant for her arrest. She was booked into the Ector County Jail Tuesday and is being held without bond. Ector County court records indicate her attorney suspects McClinton may not be competent to stand trial and would like her evaluated by mental health experts. OC graduation ceremony set. Odessa College will host its spring 2023 commencement ceremonies at 6 p.m. Friday and 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Saturday at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. On May 12th, 365 graduate candidates are expected to walk, including the Bachelor and Applied Arts and Sciences, BAAS, program and the School of Business and Industry. At 10 a.m. May 13th, 300 graduate candidates are expected to walk from the School of Liberal Arts and Education. At 2 p.m. May 13th, 270 graduate candidates are expected to walk from the School of Health Sciences, the Texas Certificate of High School Equivalency Program, and the Odessa College Continuing Education Programs. All three ceremonies will be live-streamed via Odessa College's YouTube channel. More information and direct links will be available at the following. https://www.odessa.edu.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram's oil report for Saturday, May 6th. Brazos Midstream expanding its operations. The story was written by Mella McEwen. As Permian Basin crude oil production continues to climb, and with it the natural gas associated with that crude, moving the resource to end users becomes increasingly challenging. To handle the growth in output will require all hands on deck, from the largest national carriers to smaller privately held carriers. All are making moves to accommodate more production. Brazos Midstream, one of the largest privately held midstream companies operating in the Permian, is in the midst of expanding its operations. Founded in 2014, the company began its operations in the southern Delaware Basin, which at the time was lagging behind the Midland Basin in terms of activity and infrastructure, according to William Butler, chief financial officer and a founding partner of the company. Quote, "We were in an outstanding position to start operations," Butler told the Reporter-Telegram in a telephone interview. Growth was bolstered by acquisitions, including from Jeddah Operating, Callon Petroleum, and Diamondback Energy's Rattler Midstream, as well as Greenfield Construction. Today, he said, Brazos processes about 500 million cubic feet and has 865 miles of natural gas, NGL, and crude gathering pipelines. With 500,000 acres dedicated to Brazos by 28 customers that include Diamondback, Continental Resources, ExxonMobil, Callon Petroleum, Permian Resources, and ConocoPhillips, expansion continues. quote, "The main system, the high-pressure backbone, is well built," he said. "Now we're building back to the wellhead, installing compression and processing, the little things that differentiate us," end quote. Today, the company is planning to replicate that success in the Midland Basin, with some adjustments for the basin's legacy production and contracts. Under construction is the Sundance Processing Plant, a 200,000 MCFD facility in Martin County. Quote, "We're building the backbone over the next 12 to 18 months. We're entering into contracts. We plan to repeat our success in the Midland Basin," Butler said. Being one of the largest privately held midstream companies in the Permian has its disadvantages and advantages, Stephen Lusky, Brazos Midstream Chief Commercial Officer and another founding partner, told the Reporter-Telegram. Quote, "The advantage is our workforce is not in the multi-thousands," he said. "We are 105 strong and growing. That gives us ability in that we can move quickly and we can move expeditiously to provide solutions," end quote. Another advantage, Lusky said, is that it is not integrated downstream, which means it can decouple its natural gas, crude, or natural gas liquids from certain gatherers and processors as needed. That leads to better deals and more flexibility, he explained. Brad Isles, chief executive officer and another founding partner, along with Ryan Jaggi, chief operating officer, said being privately held gives Brazos the freedom to make decisions that might seem unconventional. "Publicly held companies tend to focus on each quarter's financial performance," Isles explained. Quote, "Being private and smaller, we can make economic decisions that are in our best interest and in the customer's best interest, not in the interest of quarterly reports," he said. "That focus can drive us to make different decisions in the field," end quote. Brazos' job, Isles said, is to provide solutions and create values for its customers. The company can bring solutions to customers who have not had capacity created for them by other companies, he said. Changes to the regulatory environment will affect the sector, but Isles sees it as a welcome change. Quote, "It will put regulations in place to encourage and foster repair and modifications to older systems that were built when standards were not as stringent," he said. He added that because Brazos has focused on building out the latest generation of infrastructure designed to eliminate flaring and increase pipeline runs, new regulations will validate what the company is already doing. Zealous Energy acquires Danos Roustabout Services. The story was written by Mela McEwen. One company was looking to expand its Permian Basin business. Another was looking to expand its focus on another segment of its operations. At the end, the two companies made a deal that met both goals. Zealous Energy and Environmental Services has acquired the Roustabout Services division of Danos LLC, it was announced this week. Quote, "Danos is committed to the Permian Basin. The divestiture enables us to expand our production services business and deliver the excellent service and support our customers rely on," Paul Danos, chief executive officer and owner of Danos, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Kenneth LeBlanc, Zealous chief executive officer, told the Reporter-Telegram by telephone that a new Danos was exiting the Roustabout sector at the same time Zealous was looking to expand. Quote, "So it was a natural fit to pursue the deal," end quote. Acquiring Danos' Roustabout services not only brings Zealous a strong group of quality personnel that allows it to further serve its customers in the region, he added. The addition of the 40 Danos employees, or 10 crews, will bring to 300 zealous employees in the Permian Basin, he said. According to LeBlanc, the Bro Bridge, Louisiana-based company, has been around the Permian Basin for the last 10 years with more than $100 million in completed construction projects. Zealous is a full-service energy and environmental construction organization that includes roustabout services. LeBlanc said the company has between 40 and 50 active clients from almost all the major operators to independents to midstream companies. Quote, "The Permian Basin is the most dynamic region," he said. "It's important for the nation's energy security, and it's important for the nation's energy needs," end quote. LeBlanc said Zealous entered the Permian in 2011, working primarily in the Jal, New Mexico area. Quote, "That was our initial relationship in the Permian Basin," he said. "We basically followed the rigs. As drilling increased, demand increased," end quote. The company has weathered cycles from the commodity price retreat of 2014-2015 to the pandemic that began in 2020 and saw activity drop 75%, according to LeBlanc. Quote, "The worst of times led to the best of times for the company in our being well-positioned for growth," he said. He is forecasting 100% growth, and the Danos acquisition is part of that forecast. Quote, "We are bullish on the Permian Basin. The majors are looking for larger positions to secure reserves, and that bodes well for the Permian Basin and Zealous," he said. Even as the energy industry has evolved technologically, he said the level of expertise is the same, with the skill sets needed on major construction projects or maintenance projects the same. Quote, "That's critical from a safety standpoint," he said. Quote, "Everybody talks about safety and getting partners and employees home in the same condition they left," LeBlanc said. "It's so critical to our partners and our employees to return home safely. We have over 1 million man-hours, about 3 years, without a lost-time accident. Safety is a big focus for our company. It's our number one driver." Stogner aims to be voice of reason for energy industry. The story was written by Mela McEwen. Attorney Sarah Stogner has spent the last 14 years working with energy businesses to manage risk. The former Railroad Commission candidate is also working to develop smart contracts and utilize blockchain technology to avoid legal issues. Quote, "I graduated from Louisiana State University Law School in 2008, joined a big law firm, then joined a smaller law firm, then went out on my own in 2020, she told Grant Schwartzwelder, president of OTA Environmental Solutions, during OTA's monthly Oil Feels Strong online presentation. She went out on her own because, quote, "I saw a need for legal services that weren't billed by the hour or with contingency fees. Smaller operators, smaller service companies are trying to do the right thing, trying to bring energy to the world, get paid, get insurance, and get paid and go on with their lives," end quote. Stogner said she found she likes what she called preventative stuff, avoiding problems. Her focus changed when she moved to a cattle ranch in the summer of 2021 and discovered an old well that had been plugged that came unplugged and began spewing brine. She has since discovered there is a network of old wells that were believed plugged that have become unplugged and begun spewing brine and other fluids. Quote, "We have all this technology coming. Let's prepare to use it so we have the data to know what happened and not just who has the most clever lawyers filing sneaky briefs," she said. The industry's safety culture, she said, is missing the forest for the trees. Quote, "Yes, Everyone wants to go home with all their fingers and toes, but when they're more worried about steel-toed boots than subsurface crossflow, priorities are out of whack, she said. The Permian Basin has hundreds of thousands of wells, many with significant integrity issues, she warned, and the inundation of produced water could only compound the issue. It may look fine at the surface, she said, quote, but as soon as you dig down a few feet, the surface casing is rotten and actively leaking below ground. I thought about 25% would be leaking when I started, but I've excavated 100 wells and have not found one that was actually properly plugged, end quote. There are regulations overseeing the proper abandonment of wells, she acknowledged, but what is needed is stricter enforcement. She also called for the creation of a fund funded by every supermajor to help address the issue. Quote, I think most of this is a supermajor problem, she said. These are old wells, Gulf Oil drilled, Pan America drilled, it's legacy stuff. And what I'm finding is when they started having problems in the field, instead of reporting it to the regulators and fixing the problems, they dumped it on the smaller guys, end quote. The good news is, she said, is that the industry has the technology and the rocks to allow the U.S. to be energy independent for the next 200 years. She also has hope for nuclear energy, for hydrogen energy. Oil and natural gas will continue to be part of the mix, but only part, she said. Her end goal, she told Schwartzwelder, is for there to be a healthy, vibrant oil and gas industry. Quote, I understand as an industry we have been bad about explaining to the world what we do and why they need us. We understand modern-day life relies on hydrocarbons, so we've had this bravado of, we don't care if you don't like us, you need us, we're indispensable. That doesn't work anymore. We're under attack. Politicians and companies that were 10 years ago saying climate change was a hoax are now saying, yes, we need to sequester carbon and give carbon credits and put solar panels in places where they don't have electricity and never drill over here. There's insanity on all levels from both sides. I'm trying to be a voice of reason and knowledge, she said.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram, Health and Wellness for Wednesday, May 10th, 2023. Overcoming Cancer. Hope House to host National Cancer Survivor Day event. It may not be common knowledge that June holds a day for all cancer survivors to celebrate their journeys, but local nonprofit Gifts of Hope, Inc. is working to raise awareness about this opportunity for local survivors, their friends, and their families to come together. Quote, it is so wonderful to have my family with me to celebrate my fight and victory over cancer, end quote, a participant from last year said about the event. Gifts of Hope Executive Director Clint Dixon said, quote, this event exists to provide space for survivors to come together, along with friends and family, to inspire others who are in the middle of their journey, and also hope that cancer can be beat. The people represented by our event have strength, beauty, and colorful personalities. So we want to showcase that while making the community aware of how many people are affected and overcome cancer. We want every survivor in the Permian Basin and their families to join us on our front lawn for an amazing celebration, end quote, Dixon stated. The event will be held at the Hope House at 2006 West Tennessee Avenue from 2 to 4 p.m. on June 4th. There will be a local cancer survivor sharing her journey, refreshments, live music, and ribbon tying for all the different types of cancer. For more information on National Cancer Survivor Day, www.giftsofhopetx.org. Mental health. We must take care of our mental wellness. We live in a time where things can be uncertain and scary. Families face many stressors that can exacerbate or lead to mental health issues, such as anxiety and depression. On average, a person will reach for their phone every 19 seconds if they are not engaged in an activity. There are things we can do to build resiliency within ourselves and the family. It can feel good to disconnect from distractions such as the phone and social media to connect with family and friends. Schedule time that works for your family to share a meal or have 15 minutes out of the day, free from distractions, to talk. Plan activities that help with being in the moment and are enjoyable for your family, such as taking a walk. Practice regulating skills like breathing exercises or starting a yoga or meditation routine. It may be difficult to get into a routine and find what works for everyone, but it is well worth the effort. Taking care of our mental wellness is as important as brushing our teeth or combing our hair. If you or someone you know is struggling with their mental health, there is help and hope. Call or text 988 to be connected with the National Crisis Hotline. Talk with someone. Develop a family safety plan. Identify people who you and other members of the family can contact for help and support when you need it. Take the time to take care of yourselves and each other. You're worth it.
Dear Abby, wife reflects on long marriage to alcoholic. Dear Abby, I've been married for 39 years to a kind, supportive, and loving man. We are both retired. He says fit with daily exercise, read, keeps track of our financials, and is fun to be with. However, he's a high-functioning alcoholic. His personality bends to unsavory during most of the evening hours. He will never go to counseling, and support groups for me are not close by. He was always the breadwinner and provided a good income for our family. He was also a good father to our two sons. I suspect that our 34-year-old may have been an alcoholic. Over the years, I've gone from compassionate to furious about my husband's drinking. He often hides how much he consumes. I never know if it's just two or three nightly beers or a hidden bottle of wine or whiskey in the trash. I recently discovered he also has been smoking pot. I used to be a social person. We have the opportunity to travel. But it was disastrous in the past. How should a wife deal with an alcoholic in the home? Overwhelmed in Florida. Dear Overwhelmed, you can't fix your husband. Only he can do that, if he's motivated. A spouse like you should join a support group for the families of alcoholics. If one is geographically convenient, understand that meetings are also offered online and can provide help and support. Consider asserting some independence and stop allowing your husband's problem to isolate you. Pursue some of your own interests because you would like to travel, join a group, and go without him. It could provide a much-needed break from the stress you're experiencing. I hope you realize that at some point you will have to decide whether you're willing to spend the rest of your life hunkered down to avoid the nastiness of a belligerent drunk every evening. If not, you can talk to a lawyer about a separation. But that may be a discussion for another day. Dear Abby, I had a very good relationship with my daughter-in-law. In fact, I treated her like my own daughter and showed her and showered her with gifts. People told me she's been gossiping about me and saying how much she dislikes me. I feel destroyed, so I've been distancing myself from her and no longer want her to be near me. Am I a vindictive mother-in-law? I love my grandson, but I need my privacy too. What will I do during holidays when the family needs to get together? I no longer trust her, and I cannot wear her a fake smile. Am I overacting? Disillusioned in the West. Dear Disillusioned, if what you were told about your daughter-in-law is true, you are not overreacting. However, you don't know if the information is accurate or if what context something may have been said until you have been told by her. This is why you need to have a face-to-face conversation in which you ask directly if what you heard was true or if what's done something to upset you, then listen.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.